You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
The passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike, Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Thank you for listening today. To reach Dr. Mike on the air on the phone, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211, udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs at gmail.com, Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 after the hour, a couple of stories about BPA, and a couple of others, too. How about a bottle bomb? Is there a bottle bomb brewing in your basement? And Dr. Ginsberg wants to talk about satellites that may show us what's happening to groundwater, and it may not be a pretty thing. So Dr. Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. Sadly, Dr. Mike, Dr. Perry's not with us today.
That's true. He'll be back next week. And you're going to be missing next week, but Arthur and I will carry through along with Bridget will be back for next week, as well as she's going to be here for the last half hour this week. So at least some of our team is here, and I'm going to be here. We've got and there's such great medical stories of the week. I can't and there will be again next week, because I've seen some of them that are coming out next week, some of the articles. So there'll be some wonderful articles to be able to do.
Yeah, well, let's go through some of the news of the week here, and then that'll get us to Dr. Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. We talked earlier about one of the stories about obesity, now considered by the AMA to be a disease now, which means one-third of Americans have a quote-unquote medical condition, which means the potential for new pills for a new medical treatment. And can you imagine the company selling pills to one-third of Americans for this disease? And so there's a big money maker there. You got to be pragmatic about that. But that, on top of the other medical story that we should talk about here for a minute, is that on top of what people may take for a pill for obesity, as it stands right now, almost 7 out of 10 of us take prescription drugs.
Right. This was in Olmsted County, Minnesota. So it's Mayo Clinic's home ground. So you worry that maybe this county is over-medicated compared to the rest of the country. But they said it was similar to the Nehanes data set, which is the rest of the country. 7 out of 10 people take a prescription drug all the time, or prescribe one all the time and take one. The most common, Joe, are antibiotics. Second most common, antidepressants. Mm. And the interesting thing from that standpoint was there are different drugs for different groups, as you might imagine. But what group do you think had the highest, if you will, use of antidepressants?
Oh, younger people.
Oh, wrong. Yeah, it is. Actually, it is the 55 to 64-year-old women. Mm. It is 25%, and 50 to 64 women are taking an antidepressant. What do you think is the most common in young people?
Most common prescription drug?
Yeah. People between, let me give you the 18 to 30.
18 to 30.
Jeez, I'm giving you a tough thing, aren't I?
Yeah.
I'm asking you to guess what I mean. It's an antibiotic.
An antibiotic?
And then, no, that's what it is.
It's an antibiotic. Okay, I thought you wanted specific.
And then what do you think is most, and now I'm on another one. Okay, what do you think is the most common in, if you will, elderly?
Elderly, sleeping pills.
It's actually pills for managing cholesterol or managing blood pressure.
Okay, I just failed auditioning on Jeopardy. I'd never do well on Jeopardy.
Me neither. But anyway, that was the interesting thing was that there is a fair bit of, to me it was an enormous amount of antibiotic usage and of antidepressant usage.
That's chilling to think that many people are using antidepressants. Are they all justifiably prescribed, you think?
Well, we don't know that, obviously. But that was those are the data, and they felt I got the impression from the article. It was in the Mayo Clinic proceedings. It was done by Mayo Clinic. I got the feeling from the article that they thought they were justified.
How many people do you think don't take any pills?
Well, it's 3 out of 10.
That's
exactly right. It's the reverse of that. It's 3 out of 10 don't take any pills.
That's low. I wonder, can that get any better? Can you increase those percentages of people not taking pills or not?
Well, that's the whole goal of lifestyle medicine. As you know, we have in the Wellness Institute at the Cleveland Clinic, we have a Center for Lifestyle Medicine. One of its goals is to be able to reverse the disease to a great enough degree with lifestyle changes. That is, with managing stress, with doing physical activity, changing the diet, and avoiding toxins. And we're going to get to talk about avoiding some toxins with Gary Ginsberg in the next segment. But is to do that enough, and about 60% of people with type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes can do it. It's about 30% is our success rate with high blood pressure medications, getting people off of them. If you look at it, maybe you could increase those a little bit. 60% of people with high blood pressure might not need medicines if they were absolutely perfect on lifestyle changes, but you don't have to be perfect. You can get good at it and really do a huge amount in getting healthier.
Smoking rates in this country are down to 18%, but they don't seem to know why. They know the answer. They know the number. It's 18%, but there's a lot of ambiguity as to why it's at that rate. What do you think?
Well, the disappointing part is the state of Ohio is one of the few states, I think it's the only state, that has increased. So from 2009 to now, we have gone from 20.2%. We were at the national average in 2009. We're now at 25.4. It'll cost us $1 billion more in taxes or decreased, if you will, competitiveness for our corporations for their medical expenses. But the reason that we've gone up may be the reason the rest of the other country has gone down. There's a greater emphasis on prevention. Here in Ohio, the former governor, not this governor, the former governor, in what I would call a very short-sighted move, took all the money out of tobacco prevention. So we spend zero. Obviously, with other states spending more and being more aggressive with their advertising against tobacco, we're able to bring it down. And so I think where our main hope in Ohio is that the Center for Disease Control programs to bring it down, and that the Obamacare feeling that you can get 20% less or more in your health insurance premiums. If you don't smoke, you pay 20% less. If you do smoke, 20% more. It's not enough based on what they really should be paying for the costs of tobacco on medical costs. But nevertheless, 20% is a big enough number that maybe we'll get enough attention to really reduce smoking. If we knocked out smoking, we'd save $100 billion from the federal budget. And so that's more than they tried to save in the sequester.
Yeah.
So that's $100 billion a year.
How much do you think the expensiveness of cigarettes has affected the smoking rate?
Well, it definitely affects it. And there is something called an elasticity. That is, how much if you increase prices by 100%, what degree do you cut down on smoking? The elasticity for cigarettes is thought to be around 30%. So if you increase smoking taxes, if you increase the price of a pack of cigarettes from whatever it is now, $7 a pack, to $28, that's a 300% increase, you would actually knock smoking down to almost zero. So $28 a pack is an awful lot, obviously. Yeah. But that would be what it would take to knock it that far down.
Wow. All right. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic and what's not is coming up after the break. If you want to reach us on the show, 877-711-5211. Email, pretty easy. A lot of folks prefer the email. That's fine. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. On Radio MD, thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they're often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, thanks for listening today to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. We're brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. Time for What's Toxic and What's Not. I guess we have Dr. Ginsberg with us today.
I'm here.
Okay. Dr. Mike, what do you want to start the segment out with today? What is interesting to you?
I like the bottles in the basement. A bottle bomb in your basement.
Well, hopefully that's not happening, but certain teenagers have known to get into trouble with this, and the CDC just released some statistics, national statistics, on the frequency that they're finding in a database of these kinds of bombs going off. It's the kind of thing where, for a prank, some kids may read online how to make a bomb in a soda bottle. You take the soda out, you drink the soda, and then I'm not going to say exactly how to do it because I don't want everybody to run out and do it, but basically common household ingredients can actually make a soda bottle blow up, and it involves chlorine and chlorine gas and some acids, and it's sort of like this basement chemistry that can be hazardous. And so some of the things that the CDC reported on were, for example, a janitor at a school finding one of these bombs, and the thing, and they're very unstable, and they will blow up in a matter of minutes, and you never know when it's going to blow. And so this guy picks it up and didn't blow his hand off, but he got a pretty bad chemical burn and was had to go to the hospital because he breathed in chlorine gas, which is damaging to the lungs. So, you know, this is a highly... what I want to say to people is that if you've got, say, pool chemicals, you want to keep them under lock and key because they're hazardous, they're high chlorine. You don't want to see this very strong chlorine get into the wrong hands. Even bleach could go into a bottle bomb with, say, other acidic ingredients that could be found around the house. So, anyway, the statistics are out. I'm glad that it's finally reaching national attention. Every once in a while in Connecticut we hear about it in a school or in a neighborhood. Usually it's the high school set that's doing it.
Not surprised about that at all. A couple of BPA stories, Gary, right?
Yes. Well, it's been controversial. One of the controversies about BPA and why the FDA has not 100% bought into the risk, although they did take some precautions with baby bottles. However, a new and the controversy is that the argument is that after we absorb it into our body, it all goes through the liver, it gets metabolized right away, it gets broken down, gets excreted very quickly. So when you ingest it, like we're doing most of the time in our diet, that's the primary way we're getting it, or from, let's say, cash register receipts and then hand-to-mouth activity, when it goes through the mouth, goes through the liver, that's the way we absorb it, and it gets metabolized quickly. However, they just did a study in dogs, and they found that if BPA is ingested by a dog in its mouth, it gets enough absorbed in the mouth, under the tongue, for example, without it having to go to the liver. It doesn't get metabolized quickly. It could go right to hormone-sensitive tissues. So
hormone-sensitive tissues in your brain, that is.
Yeah, it can get to the brain. It affects the way brain development would happen in utero and early postnatal. One of the classic things is the shopper coming out of the supermarket trying to stuff the handbag or the pocketbook away, the wallet away, trying to deal with all the groceries. And where's the cash register receipt? In the mouth, before they have find a place to stick it. And, of course, that's where the BPA could be absorbed.
You're kidding. So, there are people put the cash register receipt in their mouth.
I've seen it, yeah.
Oh.
Coming out, they just stick it somewhere until they find a better place to put it.
Mm. That's like a golf ball. Licking a golf ball on a golf ball.
Right, exactly. Don't put anything that's not food in your mouth.
All right. How about the one that you talk about, girls obese? BPA.
Yeah, no, well, there is a concern about a couple of things about puberty in girls. One is, are they getting pubescence earlier? And they probably are. The statistics and the evidence, anecdotal evidence, seems to be earlier puberty. But the other is obesity around that age tends to really lay it on. If you are going to become obese, that tends to be an age where there's a big spurt in that. And they found an association, this is Kaiser Permanente, big insurance company, that did this study, and they found that girls who had more BPA in their urine, which is an indication of bodily exposure, they had significantly higher risk of being obese in that 9 to 12-year-old bracket, 5 times higher risk if they were in the top category of BPA exposure. Exactly why those kids had more BPA, then the low end of the curve was still trying to figure out exactly where all the BPA is coming from. That age group is probably not handling a lot of cash register receipts. They're not working in that kind of job capacity. But it's just important for kids as well to not eat a lot of packaged foods or microwave foods that might be leaching BPA.
I feel bad for these poor cashiers, don't you, Gary?
Yeah, I mean, at least they should, again, keep the cash register receipts away from their mouth, but gloves would be a good thing, and, you know, before they clock out, make sure they thoroughly wash up.
Interesting thing, though, is even if they wear gloves, you touch your face about, the average adult does it, something over 16 times an hour, which means you're going to convey that to your mouth a fair bit of time, even if you're wearing gloves.
Right, so it's important to wash up before you leave. You know, a good facial wash, as you say, before you're going to like get in the car and drive home, eat a meal, whatever you're going to do.
Hey, Gary, there's no way getting around handling money, right? I mean, dollar bills, $5 bills, we handle those things every day. Any problem in that?
Well, there's traces of cocaine and there's traces of BPA in money. It's true, but it's low level. And look, we have to accept some minimal degree of exposure to these things. We're not going to go to zero exposure, let's be practical. But we can try to avoid the excessive exposures, and that, you know, just say no to a cash register receipt if you don't really. Hopefully we're going to go paperless at some point anyway, as we all have smartphones, and we can have these receipts emailed to us.
Yeah, that's probably coming. All right, we got about a minute to talk about the last one. We'll get them all in.
In fact, if we did away with IRS, you wouldn't have to save those receipts.
I hope that's coming.
That.
All right, quickly
all right, that's
on the
a good reason.
Satellites in the groundwater, Gary, in about a minute.
Yeah, I was fascinated by this. Now, you know when it's dry conditions and you might be able to guess when your pump is going to go dry and you're not going to have water. But now there's a new satellite technology to say just how low the groundwater conditions are, how much drought is affecting groundwater in your area by the satellite, new kind of photography. And what it is showing is that the groundwater situation in the southwest U.S. is really getting pretty severely depleted as that area is scorching fires, and as people run out of surface water, like the Rio Grande outside of Albuquerque is down to a trickle. People don't have that to irrigate, so they're pumping more out of the groundwater. But this new photography from satellites, I think it's going to really help map where the groundwater is and where it isn't, and we won't have to wonder anymore.
Hey, that's Dr. Gary Ginsberg. He's with us weekly, and you should check his website out. It's called whatstoxic.com, and what you'll find interesting about it is that there are some things, obviously, that are toxic you should avoid, but there are some things that may straighten you out as to what might not be, and you may think they are. So there's, take good with the bad on the website, whatstoxic.com. To reach Dr. Mike on the phone, 877-711-5211. On the email is udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Dr. Arthur Perry taking this show off. He'll be back next week, but we still have some ground to cover before the end of the show. More news of the week, some of your email questions, some of Dr. Mike's emails, email answers, and if we have some time, we'll fit another one of Dr. Mike's Real Age Tips of the Week, too, before the end of the show. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody, so get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
Dr. Arthur Perry, away from us this week. Hey, happens now and then. He'll be back again soon to reach us on the air. It's 7-877-711-5211. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. We promote the email all the time, every week on the show, so we need to get to some email questions and Dr. Mike's answers in a minute. But we have a call from a listener, and her name is Bridget. Hello, Bridget. Welcome to the show. What's your question for Dr. Mike? What's your problem? What, you got a problem? What's your problem?
I don't have a specific problem right now, actually.
You have a favorite story this week, Bridget.
Yeah, but I have a confession to make. I didn't listen to the first hour, so I don't know what you guys have covered.
Well, pick your favorite story, and we'll tell you if we've covered it.
Okay, did you cover the organic story?
We did not. So this is a story about organic food and the increased sales of organic food. So what did you like about the story?
Well, I think that it's crazy to see that the sales of organic food have increased so much. They reached almost $30 billion in 2011. And the problem with this is that there's a lot of conflicting opinions on whether it's worth buying organic. So I think that it's misleading to some consumers who are spending more money on organic food when for some foods it's not necessarily any more advantageous to their health than the regular. Like the organic Oreo is a good example of that compared to a regular Oreo.
So most food is not healthier when it's organic than non-organic. The one exception is the Dirty Dozen. If you're pregnant or going to get pregnant, then is when you want to spend, it's probably the least time in life you can afford it, but that's the one time you want to spend a little extra money on organic fruits and veggies, especially the Dirty Dozen. Bridget, do you know the Dirty Dozen? Can I question you on that?
I know that strawberries are on there. I know that apples are on there, and peaches definitely are, I'm pretty sure, towards the top.
Right, strawberries, peaches. The way you think of it is leafy greens and some fruit that are berry-related fruits, so strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, peaches, apples, celery, lettuce. All of those are part of the Dirty Dozen, and meaning if you're going to buy those things, that's the one time you want to overspend for organic. And remember, even if it's organic, wash it off really well, three times, I believe, in a salad spinner. I wash off fruit, dry it before you put it in the refrigerator again so it doesn't rot. But wash it off at least three times before you eat it, especially the berries and especially strawberries.
Now, for the uneducated, define organic.
Bridge, you want to try that or you want me to?
I want you to.
Okay, organic means for fruits and vegetables that it is grown in a sustainable way without pesticides or other things that other than natural products, meaning as fertilizer and as pesticides and as fungicides. It has to be all natural and no chemical products.
Okay, got that.
Some experts say that if you can't afford organic, even for the Dirty Dozen, that it's more important to be sure that you're consuming enough fruits and vegetables. Do you agree with that, Dr. Rosen?
Yeah, in other words, you want to consume fruits and vegetables and wash them off really well. Washing it off really does a great job.
Let's get to some emails here. Jason's in Chicago, and he says, I must admit I do listen to your radio show often. And you talked about a new study on bacteria and chronic back pain. I treat back pain frequently and haven't heard of this. What's your real take on it, Dr. Mike?
So Jason is a chiropractor. He let us know. That isn't part of what I sent you, and I apologize. I truncated what he is. In our Integrative Medicine Center at the Cleveland Clinic, we do refer back pain frequently first to chiropractors, as they are least expensive and get people well faster. But this was an interesting story because the new data caused us to take notice. There was an astonishing, discovery in the works about low back pain and how to cure it. And we thought it was as revolutionary as the realization that bacteria are responsible for most ulcers. Those are H. pylori. Well, it turns out between 40% and 80% of long-term back pain in people with a herniated or slipped disc was associated with a bacterial infection. The main culprit was the same one that causes acne, Propionibacterium acnes. So it's a propionibacterium. That's the genera of bacteria, and the specific one is acnes. And it can trigger bone swelling and tissue damage in the spine. Whether it migrates there following the path of inflammation or whether it's the original troublemaker isn't clear. But when people were given 100 days of amoxicillin, that's a really inexpensive penicillin with something that inhibited its metabolism, 80% showed significant relief of pain and disability and essentially got cured. And that's really big news because, if you will, if you look at it, 20% of people never find relief from back pain, and another 10% have back surgery. So this is really big data. And some people say this discovery, if it's proven in multiple studies, is worthy of a Nobel Prize. But clearly, confirmation is still a few randomized clinical trials away.
Dr. Mike, Andy in Cleveland has a question. Wants to know if diet and ADHD could be related.
That's the old age question. Which came first, the fried chicken or the ADHD? I'm sorry about that, Joe. I can't resist. Well, it's really not easy to answer, but there's even a study this week on what you eat and what your habits are during pregnancy really affect how kids behave. So the people with, we know that obese moms give birth more often to kids with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and people with ADHD, kids or adults, are more likely to be overweight. And refined grains like white bread, sweet sodas, red meats, and whole grain dairy increase a child's risk for ADHD. Now it seems that kids who eat diets high in saturated and trans fat, the fried food, red and processed meats, have a greater chance of developing several childhood disabilities, including impulsivity, depression, anxiety, and ADHD. 5 to 8 times as many kids are depressed today as they were 50 years ago. Less play, more pleasure, more obesity. And anxiety is increasingly diagnosed. ADHD affects millions of U.S. kids as young as 2 years old. And the diagnosis is up, as I said, over 60% in the last 20 years, especially among boys. So for your kids and you too, adopt an eating plan that's packed with fruit, veggies, 100% whole grains, no added sugars, no added sugars, no added syrups, healthy fats, olive oil, omega-3 rich salmon and ocean trout, DHA supplements, ALA and walnuts, avocados, canola, walnut oil, chia seeds, and go for portion control and keep servings of animal protein that are smaller than the size of your palm. Fill 2/3 of your plate with vegetables and whole grains, and then you're going to see ADHD go down substantially, we believe, and you're going to be able to exercise and do strength training, if you will, much more commonly, which will keep the ADHD away.
All right, Andy, thank you for the call. You're talking about obesity. I'm on my way to work, and I work an early show here, and I was driving down the street at 1 o'clock, wanted to stop at one of the fast food places to get just a cup of coffee, because it's a great deal for a buck, any size. And I looked at the drive-through. I looked at the drive-through line. It was 8 deep at 1:15 in the morning. 8 deep.
Wow.
Now I know why we all have fat fannies in this country.
So, well, I've been passing billboards for McDonald's about craving late night and how they're open later now, too, in North Carolina. And so, I'm like, no one needs cravings late at night to be going to McDonald's.
You would think you'd get a cup of coffee without having to wait for 8 cars to go through the drive-thru at 1:15 in the morning, but that's not the way it is in this country anymore. More top medical stories of the week. Some more questions answered by Dr. Mike on udocs@gmail.com, too. And a real edge tip before the end of the hour. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an e-book with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath.
Please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness.
It's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath. Cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom, and I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated.
Visit facesofinfluenza.org.
Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
Dr. Perry now with us today. He'll be back soon. Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip in 5 minutes. Before we get to there and the end of this week's show, let's run through some of the other news of the week. The headline is Drinking Alcohol to Shrink. Wow. What's that about?
Well, this is a very interesting story. This is a large set of study, and what they found is that the women who consumed a little alcohol every day had thinner waistlines and were closer to the ideal weight than those who were teetotalers or who drank more than 2 drinks a day. And they said, is it the alcohol? Is that little alcohol relieving stress or whatever good for you, and is that the reason, or is it just that these women who drink a little alcohol do it because it's healthy and consequently they have more healthy behaviors and in fact are healthier in general? So this was looking at the large set of studies from the set of Nehanes and the Nurses Health Study, a whole bunch of studies. That innocent little drink may be helpful in controlling your weight. We don't know whether it's something specific about that, such as relieving the stress, or whether it is just you're likely to do other things healthy. So if you do that healthy, you're likely to be thinner.
Hey, what if you wanted to drink beer, right? And you got the regular beers, the light beers, and you got the low carb, you got the Miller 64. Are you better off going to the low carb, the low beers?
From a standpoint of health, it's whatever you enjoy, because the alcohol is what makes it healthy. Now, most beer has some of the B vitamins in it. You don't get enough to make a difference unless you're vitamin deprived of everything else. Most wine has a little something else in it. Most alcohol, if you have it just plain without a sugary drink, those are all good drinks. In other words, you want it without added sugar. They're all roughly the same in health behavior. And what you really should do is enjoy the one you enjoy most, because you're most likely to be satisfied with that one drink that is healthy for you.
All right, so the 64 calorie beer, not necessarily the healthiest or the better one for you. It's all based on your preference, what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. Before we go to the Real Age Tip of the Week, how about three HIPAA myths. I thought you'd think that might be kind of enlightening for our listeners here today.
Well, what people should know is that medical privacy, your data online, is very well protected. Anytime something gets out from a hospital, there is a huge fine potential, and they have done it. So, in fact, that one physician lost his computer riding on a bus, and it had a bunch of information. There's no data, and it was password protected. No evidence that it was released, but the fine was for the hospital that employed him was $1.5 million. That's how carefully. When people look in, and we have electronic medical records, if you look at someone else's medical record for more than 30 seconds, you're allowed to hit something by accident, but if you look at something that you're not supposed to for more than 30 seconds, it's recorded. When it looks at it, if this looks like you were trying to look at something that you shouldn't have been looked at, not an accident, you're fired. So it is a very carefully protected thing. These three myths were, can your name be called out? Yeah, your name can be called in a waiting room as long as it's discreet and it's not saying, you know, Joe Galuski, you with the whatever it is, the turnip in your whatchamacallit.
Well, I used to be that way because I'm on radio here and I go to a specialist and they say my name. And, like, you know, not that I'm Dr. Oz or anything. It's like,
oh, you're not?
They look at me and say, oh, man, that's, I listen to your radio show. And I said, I told my specialist, I said, anyway, you cannot say my name. Can you say my first name? So, and they changed it.
Yep, you can change it, and you can even have, you can ask them to call out a different name. So you can be Joe Young, if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Might be Joe Young.
Second thing is, your medical records never can be pointed outward. If you use a paper chart, you've got to have it your name face the wall so no one can read whose name is in that room. You know how the plastic areas where they keep charts outside of rooms, they have to face in. You can have a sign-in list, but you can sign in any name you want. There's a great joke about that, about, I don't think I can tell it on the air. I'll have to clean it up about the sign-in list.
You know what happened to Paula Deen there a couple of weeks ago?
A week ago. It's not that bad.
Venture on the side of caution. Now, I like that story, so count on that, Dr. Mike, for our little get-together on my morning show here in Syracuse on Tuesday morning.
Great.
So I don't have to email you at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning telling you what we want to talk about later on in the day on my morning show. Dr. Mike joins me with Real Age Tips every day on my morning show, and he also joins me once a week here in Syracuse on WSYR Radio. So that'll be our topic on Tuesday. How about we get to the Dr. Mike Real Age Tip of the Week?
And this one is a fun one, because it fits with what Gary talked to us. It's type of plastics to live without. If you've been meaning to get iffy plastics out of your life, this should be a kick in your pants. Exposure to BPA and DEHP, that's a phthalate found in many plastic household items, are linked to reduced thyroid function, which affects every cell in your body. And about 30% of women over the age of 60, about 15% of men are now coming in with low thyroid function, maybe because of these plastics. While more research is needed, we don't think you should wait. We nixed plastics made with BPA and DEHP, and shunning plastic thermal receipts like those from gas stations and fast food restaurants, which you should too. Imagine picking up something linked to cancer, miscarriage, fertility, obesity, immunity, and sexually developmental problems. You throw it away faster than Peyton Manning throws passes, right? That describes BPA. Gary went over that. Well, the lab studies have also linked DEHP and other phthalates to lower sperm counts, reproductive problems, and liver cancer. So BPA is likely to be in older, clear, hard, refillable plastic water bottles, pitchers, and baby bottles. Most new are BPA-free. They're supposed to be totally BPA-free. But it's also in those receipts. Turn them down. But phthalates, that's the one I want to specify, that DEHP. Six have been banned from cosmetics and kids' toys since 2008. But others still work in toys, food packages, shower curtains, raincoats, hoses, even shampoo. So avoid stuff with a plastic odor or air it out in a backyard or on a porch for a few days before using it. Clear your world of toxins, and your real age is about 1.8 years younger just from those plastics. And that's the real age tip of the week, Joe.
Hey, job well done, Dr. Mike. Thank you very much. Hey, Bridget, thank you for being a wonderful caller today. You just were amazing.
Thank you.
And we'll hear from, actually, Bridget.
I had fun.
Bridget, a very important part of this show every week as well, helping us out on the show weekly with some of the news of the week. And we thank you for listening today. If you want to reach us at any time, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Miss a segment, radiomd.com. This has been You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.